Hey guys, welcome to the Indie Film Review Short Films episode.
Volume 4.
Oh, how wonderful. I sound like Tiny Tim. I don't know where that came from. There was a point in my young life where I was really into
time
Tiny Tim.
For you to be with me on my first album.
He's such a weirdie.
I'm so happy.
I did enjoy him. And I can say that 100% during that time, no one would speak to me.
Tiptoe through the tulips with me.
They didn't care that he was doing music for SpongeBob or whatever. They were just like, nope, nobody wants to talk to you right now, man. So that's fun. Hey guys, I'm Jared. That's Dan.
To be factually correct, he wasn't doing music for SpongeBob. He was long dead. They just appropriated his music for SpongeBob.
Ah, yes. Musical appropriation.
Oh, let me just adjust my musical glasses.
Nerd. This guy. So this is the Indie Film Review.
Yes, we Hello. Review independent films.
Thank you for allowing us into your ear holes.
You sounded a little aggressive at one second. Thank you for letting us
into
your
ear. I get a little aggressive when I... So we're kind of like the Wishmaster, where like we can't do anything unless you command us to do so. And by opening this audio file, you have given us free reign on your ear holes, pretty much. So we can... We're in, all right? Okay? So whatever you hear, it's fine. Don't worry about it.
God, so, if you haven't seen The Wishmaster, go do yourself a favor and watch that, please.
I love
At least the first
Master.
One.
Wishes, Morgana.
Morgana.
That's something that should be remade. They should remake
Oh,
that
yeah!
Movie.
That
Let's
one,
go.
Pumpkinhead needs to be remade. I'm down for a Pumpkinhead remake.
Fuck yeah, dude. I am all the way in. Okay, anyways. This is we do independent films here. So for this episode, we have a bunch of shorts that were either submitted to us or I fished out from different social media sites that we're using. Sometimes indie film developers will follow us and not necessarily request to be reviewed. And I've taken it upon myself to just review their stuff anyway.
A favor.
No, it's not a favor.
Unwarranted
really
advice.
Not.
It's that one. It's like, hey,
it's
I have
all.
Some free advice for you. You didn't ask for it, but here it is.
Yeah. We're one of those guys. We're giving you unwanted advice. I don't know. We just do this for fun. What are you gonna do? So this should be exciting.
Whenever we get to those short films, we should just after every single one, we should and that one's for free.
Yeah, I'm going to go, you're welcome.
Oh.
That definitely won't get annoying. So the first section we're going to do is Ben Whatley's short films. This was actually requested to us by a friend of mine, Allie. And so we're going to do some of those. And
I know that Ben Whatley is a fellow UCF grad. He graduated from UCF before moving out to the big LA.
Next section is going to be, please forgive me if I say this name wrong. It is a YouTube short film director and creator, Hong Hong.
Hong Hong.
And we're going to be going over some of his short films.
And then finally, we have Yuri Rutman's short film, Trained, was suggested to us by him on Instagram. I hope I said his name right.
Yes, indeed. Yuri Rutman. Kind of sounds like a fighting game character. Maybe I'm Yuri. Thinking of something from Street Fighter. I don't know.
Yeah, I think so.
See, I'm cool. I'm hip. I know. I know all the Kicky Punch boys. I know all about them. So, yeah, I'm excited to get into this, Dan.
All right. Well, let's get into that Ben Whatley nonsense.
Yeah. Why don't we start using words to review the short films? Why don't we do that?
Important to note that Ben Whatley is the cinematographer for all of these short films.
Okay. Oh, so he's not directing any of them.
No. He's only being the cinematographer, and he's pretty good at cinematography. I'm going to give him that.
Yeah. I will say that all of these short films are well made. Like,
most
I liked
of which,
watching
if
it.
Not all, were documentaries.
Yes, but they were interesting.
Mm-hmm.
The camera work and lighting and all the different things that they were doing, music, it kept me engaged, even when some of the stories were not as interesting. You know
right.
what I mean? Like,
yeah,
I'm not necessarily interested in this, but the cinematography and camera work were keeping me there so that I at least watched all of them. Because we were talking off mic that, was it Ben Whatley who did some, there was like commercials at the end?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. So some of his videos at the end, I think he did like an Avena
commercial, Adidas.
Yeah. And some Adidas things. And, I watched all those too, even though I'm like, oh, I know this is a commercial, but like, I watch it anyways. So, we're going to talk about the main ones.
All day I dream about sex.
Is this some weird gospel thing that you like to sing at your
Adidas
porno church?
Adidas, the corn song Adidas, All Day I Dream About Sex. It's an acronym.
I could not be further away from any of that. Like, I don't know if it's either a case of just me being a nerd or what, but like, I never got into Korn or anything.
Dude, Korn was like one of the biggest bands in the world at one point.
I know. I don't know why I avoided them like the plague, but anytime I saw Korn, I'm just like, nope, not for me. Mm-mm.
Okay, so let's get into 16 Hours, a documentary film shot by Ben Whatley. I do not have everything handy. I don't know who directed it, but let's get into it.
Yeah, sure. And by the way, I'm not saying I hate Korn or anything. I'm just saying I never got into it. Okay, so relax.
Okay.
I hear you guys. All right.
Do you like it creamed or do you like it on the cob?
No response. Negative words. Space redacted. Okay, so 16 Hours. Focus.
16 Hours is an interesting documentary about Chinese Americans and their relationship to China and its culture. The title comes from the idea that it's 16-hour flight to get there, essentially.
Yeah, it's like a time difference
yes.
or something, some shit like that. So what'd you think about this movie?
Well, first and foremost, it's
You're
one
wrong.
Of those
No, go ahead. I'm sorry.
First and foremost, it's one of those documentaries I'm like, why are they making a documentary out of this? And then I'm like, oh, I kind of get it. And it was very interesting because I know some people who are from China. I went to grad school with a guy who's from China.
Uh-huh.
And it is a very interesting relationship that they kind of strike up with their homeland and what it means to be an American here and how they kind of don't feel like they fit into either one of the cultures.
Yeah. Yes, that was the most fascinating part about this. I enjoyed it. I definitely felt the same way where I'm kind of like, where are we going with this? I'm like, why is, what's the deal? And then the more I watched it, the more I understood completely. And it's something that, like, it's hard for me to relate to, but it's so fascinating that there are people out there who have to deal with this kind of thing where it's a cultural identity, I don't know about crisis, but you're kind of torn between
right.
two different countries. And this happens with a lot of people who immigrate over, or maybe they come here to America and they start a business or whatever. They start living here. They meet somebody, they have kids or whatever. And then their whole family is in a whole other country. And I thought that was so fascinating. Like where you grew up and like all of that, everything you're connected to is so far away. And it doesn't even have to be just China. It kind of relates to every,
right?
Like any other culture,
absolutely.
Or country you could be from. And I don't know, it's kind of fascinating. And it kind of goes over like how people will like come together through that identity. They're kind of like, hey, you're from China too, so we should like, you know, let's be friends. And then they form like that Formula One racing group where they're like no other like Chinese group has done this, so like we're kind of just on our own figuring it out, and that's kind of the fun of it. I was like, I don't know, I thought that was kind of neat. I think it is interesting how they had so many different perspectives on like how they feel about their identity as like being Chinese or being an American. And I love the egg song. I wish I wrote it down.
Yeah, I know. There was the two girls making dumplings had this really cute egg song that they sang to each other, and they both knew it, and it was like, what was happening?
Two adorable Chinese girls were, like, making some food, and they started singing about eggs. They're like, eggs, eggs, yummy, yummy. And I'm like, yeah, I love it. I'm a child. Sing a nursery rhyme, and I'll enjoy it. So that was neat.
So, I mean, there's really, I mean, I would recommend watching it just based off of what Jared said, the whole dynamic of you can kind of relate to it if you're a fish out of water in general. I mean, I don't mean to generalize the whole dynamic of Chinese immigrants coming over here, but it is something that is tangible for a lot of people. You know what I mean?
Oh, I just think it's relatable.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
I don't think we're, I don't think it's a generalization or anything. So it was a very watchable short film and well made, and I enjoyed it.
Much like most of them. So basically, Ben Whatley is doing, or what he's filming a lot of, is documentaries, because he had a feature length film that he was advertising on his works page that was also a documentary. We couldn't see that, but we watched what we could. The next one is called Savage Ranch. Probably my favorite of the ones that I watched.
Okay.
It's not as interesting, I guess, in terms of narrative, in terms of the 16 hours. I liked what the narrative was. It was very interesting. Yes. I didn't necessarily like the narrative of Savage Ranch, but I thought it was filmed the best.
Okay.
So the cinematography, I want to just take the time right now to say this because it kind of makes sense for all of his films. Ben Whatley is really, really good at B-roll. Like all the stuff that are just is just filler images. Everything is just amazing. Yeah.
When they have like dialogue overlaid with the characters kind of like hanging out
and doing shit.
Yeah.
And then like, because in 16 hours, like there's this amazing shot of all of the Formula One guys just lighting a cigarette with a blowtorch.
Yeah.
And it was just like, he told them to do that. It was incredible.
Yeah, a lot of cool stuff like that. So this short is about a transitioning man to woman who is living in a commune that her mother
was donated by her mother,
finance. And it's an art commune where people who are gay or trans, or I guess whoever, I guess
anybody in the LGBTQ community. What this gave me vibes of was like Priscilla, Queen of the Desert.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's basically a documentary about something like that. But instead of cabaret, they're doing, well, I guess they kind of are doing cabaret in a way. Like they're freely expressing themselves in whichever way they want to.
Yes. I was a little confused because I'm like, okay, well, does this place make money? Is this like a business? Do they invite people to come and they'd like put on a show or a performance? Or is it all just like, just express yourself however you want? That's whatever your art is.
I mean, I feel like it can be both, really.
Okay. Well, because I was just confused. I'm like, are they making some kind of money to support this house? Or is it just the mom is just supporting the house? The most fascinating thing to me was the mother-daughter relationship of the main character.
And they didn't really spend a lot of time on that, which
I was kind of upset about. Wanted to know the most.
Because they kept hinting at it at first. Because the first time they mentioned it was gone in like 2 seconds. I'm like, what? And then they start bringing it back. I'm like, yes, I want to know more about this. Because there's this amazing shot of Priscilla, or I'm saying Priscilla. what is her name?
I'm not sure what the main actress is.
Is it Bailey? Anyway, the lead actress, she's like setting up something outside to do, and she's setting up her mom's drum set.
Yeah.
For some reason, and her mom just starts fucking playing drums because she can.
I mean, it's probably just because it's a cool shot, and they're like, "Hey, why don't you get these drums out and we'll film it?" They're like, "Okay, cool." It was interesting because the mom feels so different from the daughter.
Like the story is the mom was in prison for the majority of the daughter's life,
and they don't even talk about what she why? Did or yeah. like yeah it's like that's not even like an important thing in the documentary, and it, but it was mysterious and fascinating to me. I'm like, oh, I want to know what the deal is. And then it seemed like the mom was not as accepting of the main character of her transitioning mm-hmm. for a while, and then maybe that had changed at some point.
Yeah.
And then to the point where she starts to support her doing this art commune dealy. Now, do you think that a ton of this documentary had to be cut out because it was all just them hardcore fucking each other in like giraffe costumes and like bunny ears and stuff?
No, you know why? Because they left the most insane thing in.
What would that be?
The drag show in Walmart.
Oh, that was great.
That was fucking crazy.
Can you imagine? So they're all like trying on. You see that? You'd be like, all right.
It's all these guys in the ladies section of Walmart trying on bras and shit. And they're like doing a fashion walk. Like they're strutting their stuff down the aisles of a Walmart. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's fucking ridiculous. How did they get that shot? Because the camera had to have been small.
There
are
lot of shots that that Ben Whatley and crew get where I'm just like, how did they get these shots? I just feel like there's got to be some money thrown around. I mean, these have budgets, right?
I mean, yeah, they're micro budgets for sure.
For sure.
I don't know if it's a direct reference, but I want to think it is.
What's up?
They're all walking down a dune and somebody's like, watch out for snakes.
Oh my God, the watch out for snakes made me laugh so much. Because it's a reference to Mr. Science Theater. I'm sure they didn't intend it to be, but it is to us because we're children.
And it just like the whole scene reminded me of that too, because that's a film that's set out in the desert. It's Iga.
Final thoughts on the Ben Whatley short films. They were really good. I liked them.
Yeah, good documentaries.
Pretty fantastic.
Interesting.
Yeah, I would definitely watch a documentary made by...
Oh, another thing that was really, in addition to B-roll, he knows how to do slow-mo very tastefully.
Mm-hmm. There was one short about ice skating that might have been my favorite thing. And it was...
Yeah.
It wasn't even that long.
It was really good.
How it was shot, and it was about this woman who just trying to get into the Olympics, and she just barely missed it. And it was just so fascinating about her talking about the failure and how she has to cope with it and everything else. And watching her do the ice skating, it was just amazing. It was spellbinding. But yeah, anyways, we're running out of time, so we have to move on. So next group of movies is...
Han Hung.
Yes. Thank you for saying it.
Gotta be strong and wrong, man.
That's right, baby. Fake it till you make it!
Woo!
So let me get in here. First movie,
Disintegration. This is my kind of fucking movie.
Don't give a fuck if I cut my arms.
Bleeding.
Well, how did you feel about this?
I loved it.
You liked it?
It was absolutely beautiful, but I'm a fucking nerd for anything that's like, you know, just dismal and TV related, like Videodrome.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, I had major Videodrome vibes. I thought this lady was going to climb into her TV.
I know.
The short is a woman is staring at a TV screen. You can't
and
see what's on the TV.
She's waxing poetically about how it's been like this.
Yeah, it's been.
Yeah, it's been. That's... it's been this kind of beacon of light for her. Not necessarily a teacher. I don't want to say it's almost like that one scene from Old Boy where he's talking about how the TV is his friend, his lover, and things like that. But it's done in such a subtle way,
mm-hmm.
because it feels as if it's talking about the TV as if it is a person in the room and it's complimenting it.
Yes. I thought she at first was addressing somebody online.
Exactly.
She was dating an online date.
And then you slowly find out that she's actually talking about the TV. And as you slowly find out she's talking about the TV, the shots and the music get creepier.
Yeah.
It's fucking bonkers.
Well, would you say it's the TV or herself? Because it's like her watching herself, basically, is the reveal.
I don't care. Watch
this
movie.
That's considered rude. Okay?
Let the art exist in its own cultural nuances.
Yes, yes. Let me clean my monocle. So, yeah, I liked it.
It was fantastic. I mean, there's really not much to talk about. Just fucking watch this film and make your own interpretation because it's fucking great. It's quick and dirty. One of those, like, it's a cyberpunky thing where it's like, it's well-shot. It's a well-shot foray into gross, let's fuck a TV territory. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Hong is good at making things look cool.
He is, but you know what? The next two films make me think that he's deeply troubled and hurt by a lover.
Yeah, we're kind of worried about him.
Extremely, extremely poetic in his next two films. Like, so he has these next two films. We're just going to talk about them kind of side by side. One is called Fall With Me. The other one is called Taciturn Tango. And they're both about this, like, separate women who have fallen out of love with somebody. And here are some of the things that he says. In love, in life, you either end up resenting or regretting. There's rarely in between.
Fuck.
Wait for the next one. This is my favorite. When you don't understand someone, you fall in love. What happens when you've had the time to figure them out? Mm-hmm. And then Fall With Me is about a girl who's about to break up with a guy. And she just walks off. And that's it. Yeah. And the whole time is just you're in her head about why she's about to make the move she's about to make.
Yeah.
And it's really intense.
Yeah. I have another quote here, actually, from one of the short films. It's, despite all my rage, I am still just a rat in a cage. I mean, that was a good one. It really spoke to me. On a personal level. No, so, yes, the first, the fall with me, I thought that she was maybe a prostitute.
I found another one. Ready?
Sure.
Emptiness is loneliness, and loneliness is cleanliness, and cleanliness is godliness, and God is empty, just like me.
Oh.
Let's play a game. How many Billy Corgan references can we squeeze into a half hour?
That's a good dog name, Billy Corgan.
That is a good dog name.
I mean, I'm not calling him a dog. I'm just saying he's got a good dog name.
He's a corgi. Yeah, Billy Corgan.
That's probably why I just said that, because of Corgan.
I'm pretty sure somebody's already named their dog Billy Corgan.
It's my brain's a dumb brain for dummies. So, Fall With Me, I thought maybe she was a prostitute.
Mm-hmm.
But then I'm like, no, that doesn't make any sense. I'm like, this sounds like they're just on a first date or something. And I'm like, no, that doesn't make any sense. And then I started thinking what you were saying is that they were already in a relationship and like this was them breaking up.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
And I mean, the best part is the ending where she's kind of like, I'm going to walk away and this is how it's going to end. But you could also just come after me. You know what I mean? Like you could.
But he doesn't.
Stop this. Yeah, he doesn't do it.
Spoilers.
And of course, the guy in this is like looking real cool. And like everyone's looking really cool during all this. They're all like fashion supermodels, kind of like leaning around and doing cool stuff. But yeah, I like this one. I think the last one is probably the one I liked. Well, no, because I like Disintegration a lot. Yeah. I think Disintegration is my favorite.
Yeah, just because it's fucking crazy. But the Taciturn Tango has like another really interesting. So Taciturn Tango involves this woman who's crying who ends up on a subway train. Stay tuned for subway trains. Anyway.
Yeah.
She's on a subway train, and then this guy notices her, and she notices him staring at her. Yes. And then she kind of philosophizes him into not wanting to enjoy
her. Yeah, that was a little weird. Because it's like, okay, imagine you're on a train. There's a an attractive woman who's crying.
Mm-hmm.
Or it's obvious she was crying. You both lock eyes. You're kind of like, oh, maybe I shouldn't look at this lady. She comes over and says, hey, what were you looking at? And the guy's like, oh, you know, you're really pretty. And I was wondering, you know, why you were crying and what's the deal. And then she just starts to go off on you for like 10 minutes of the entire subway ride about how if you two were to get together, it would only end in disaster, and all of her love is unrequited, and relationships are just a series of
this is why we're concerned about Han Hong.
Yeah, and that she's a nihilist, and we all will return to Mother Earth.
Well, like, one of the things that she says that it was so poetic, I loved it so much, but she was talking about how they were going to have a conversation, and they would say, or she said, they would try to keep talking, but the conversations would turn into sentences, the sentences turn into words, and then the words turn into silence. I'm like, holy shit.
Signifying like how long, you know, the longer you go in a relationship, sometimes you just, people run out of things to say to each other. Now, that takes it as like a bad thing. I don't necessarily see it that way.
No,
I feel like if you're with somebody for like 30 years or something, there's a connection to where you don't have to, like, you do already know. So it's like you can just be comfortable with silence or like minimal talking. If you're out in public, you don't have to like do the getting to know you thing. I don't know. I think it's kind of endearing whenever I see like two old people just like hanging out, eating a sandwich together. And I'm like, oh, look at them. I don't know. I don't necessarily take it as dark as this movie does. Okay, but imagine a lady does all that and then she gets off the train. What would you do? I would fucking stay on that train.
Yeah, I would probably do it too.
I'm not going to follow that crazy lady. I'm like, you're crazy. You're out of your mind. But our male protagonist goes off and chases her because he's like, you know what? Despite all of that, I still want to try. And
now, I will say that these short films were surprisingly whole to me. Like, it didn't feel like it was based off of premise. They felt completed. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I like the animation too at the end of this short, where it shows like the train map and it's like zooming around and the different rails are connecting. Yeah, a lot of really cool stuff in this. I think all of these are very well done and I enjoyed it. Yeah, I liked it.
So, our last film is a film called Trained, and it has to do with our word of the week.
Our secret word.
Our secret word. Siderodromophilia.
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 Siderodromophilia. So we watched a film called Trained.
Yeah.
It's about a woman who can only get sexually aroused whenever she's on or around moving trains.
This movie was made by Yuri Rutman. Mm-hmm. Wrote and directed it, right?
Wrote, directed, and starred in it.
Really?
He was the man. He was the man that's trying to train her.
Who is the woman in this?
I did not
look her name
up. Is that
his wife?
I don't know.
Or girlfriend.
Or random stranger that just decided to have sex.
Because there's a lot of fucking in this movie.
This movie is basically a softcore porno. No, I'm just kidding. No, this movie has direction. It's just there is quite a lot of nudity and fucking in it.
Yes. So here's what I'll say. I thought the cinematography and the camera work was good.
Yes, absolutely.
I enjoyed that. The things that were lacking for me were character development. Like, I didn't really get too much of who these characters were. So there's these two characters, and they're both in a relationship together, and the woman protagonist is obsessed with trains, like we said, and she cannot become sexually aroused unless she is on or near a train, and apparently this is an actual disorder that some people have. It's fascinating to me. I did not know about this. And there is another character who is presumably the main character's, or the male protagonist's friend.
Mm-hmm.
I thought maybe it was his psychiatrist.
I thought so too, but
so vague. And there's so many times where they just cut to them together and they're like not talking to each other. And then they just like cut away, or that psychiatrist character will just like say something and then say it again. And then they'll have like these weird broken conversations. It was confusing.
I agree. There was a lot of confusion whenever it came to that aspect of it, because I kind of felt proud of it. At first, I was like, you know what? If you would have just explained what Siderodromophilia was at the beginning, it would have made it go by a lot faster. However, I felt proud of myself around the, I want to say, 7-minute mark that I'm like, oh, no, okay, I get it now. Like,
yeah, you figured it out.
I figured it out, and it made sense, and it was running smoothly. But then that fucking wrench in the cog is the is the psychiatrist character, which, like you said, not very developed a lot. So he's just this kind of being that we're just like, okay, what is this?
Well, so I didn't have a problem with the premise, or even if there was like a mystery of like, well, what's going on with this? These characters' relationship. It was more of like, I want to know more about the male and female protagonists. I want the psychiatrist to ask, or his friend, or whoever it is. See, that's the thing. Like, we don't even know who that character is. I want them to talk to each other more, so I understand more about them. Because the entire film is so focused on, all you know is they're together and they fuck a lot. Like, that's it.
That's
like,
what I don't a know anything else is, about man. His characters. Aren't you in one?
But what? So here's the deal. Why do I care? Is the thing. So the movie has to make me care about these two characters, right?
Mm-hmm.
So like, I need more information on these characters. That was the thing. So like, I love the premise. I'm super into it. I'm like, okay, we have these characters. Like, what's their deal? What are they about? Like, why is this guy still with this lady? You know, like the only times we got some character development is like when they're in a graveyard. But even then, I was a little confused, I guess, because she starts talking about how like she thinks all the dead people are at peace or something. Mm-hmm. And then the dude is like, my only peace is breathing and being alive. And I'm like, this is I don't know. It just felt weird to me. It felt out of place. Is she obsessed with trains or being dead?
I think what worked for this film, though, is the overall arc that the female character takes. You know what I mean?
Elaborate.
Well, okay, so basically, you have the guy who's trying to normalize her, essentially. And he's, I guess, talking to his friend about it. Mm-hmm. But the female never changes. The female protagonist never changes.
Yes.
And that's kind of how I feel like Philia's work. You know what I mean? Like, people don't necessarily get over the Philia.
Oh, no. Yeah, it's an obsession.
Exactly. So, like, because the obsession was constant, I felt that was a strong character arc.
Why don't they just move to like a train yard? Like, you can live near trains. It's really easy. Most people don't want to live there, so you're actually going to pay either lower rent or the home value is going to be lower. So just, I mean, they could.
Well,
they
if you're going to go that far, Jared,
just live near a train.
If you're going to go that far,
you don't have to kill yourself because you like fucking on trains.
Okay, so hold on a second. Who are you trying to defend here? Because if you,
I'm not trying to defend. I'm just saying I don't understand the reasoning for.
You are the Lorax, and you're speaking for somebody, and I demand to know who you're speaking. Are you speaking for the woman or the man?
For the woman. So it's it's not that it's makes not more the sense. Context. It's not about
because I would drive my woman anywhere to get some.
Oh boy.
Oh boy.
Cue the Smashing Pumpkins. So I just don't get. So the big thing at the end is that the female protagonist kills herself by jumping in front of a train. I just don't know why she does that.
Do you need to know why she does that? Because that was like, that sure. was shocking to me.
Well, yeah, but
I liked how it came out of nowhere.
Are they trying to imply that her wanting to have sexy times near trains was so terrible that she has to kill herself? I don't get it.
Well, I mean, I feel like in the film it was very much implied that she couldn't stand it. Like, she she was obsessed with not just the trains, but the fact that she had had sex with it. And it was like, it was insatiable to her.
Okay. I guess that helps a little bit.
Oh, I like the ending a lot. Like, the ending was like, it was very surprising. It blew my mind. I'm like, holy, I actually said holy shit out loud.
Well, having the male lead standing there next to the train and having to be reminded of the train, of his former lover every time he takes the train or sees a train, that was the best part.
Yeah.
Yeah, like you were saying, like when he's there and he's just staring, you know, and I'm like, oh, okay, that's fucking intense. But I felt like that would have been more impactful if I knew more about these characters.
Fair enough. That's
and
a good
more
argument.
About their love and like their relationship, because it just seemed like it was all sexy times. And anytime they were like actually talking to each other, they seemed like they hated each other.
Well,
it could have been that their relationship was solely based on
another defense. Sex. Yeah, well, there
so,
is
like,
that
he,
idea.
So you could have explored that too. So it's like he could have been talking with his friend, being like, "Well, you're not really in love with her. You just are sex crazed with her, you know." So like that's the thing that you're really infatuated with.
Another defense.
Okay.
You only, like, it's a short film. You only have a certain amount of time to do that. I'm sure he cut down a significant amount anyway.
Yes.
Because it was
true.
Like about 16 minutes long.
Yeah.
So.
That is true. This is not a full feature length film. I think it was like around 20 minutes altogether, but that includes credits and everything else. But overall, I thought it was very interesting.
Yeah.
It was fascinating.
It was fascinating.
And like I said, I thought it was constructed very well.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wanted to know more. I don't think that's like a bad thing.
No, absolutely not.
I wanted to know more about these characters. But man, there's a lot of fucking. Yeah, baby. I did think it was crazy when I thought he was going to kidnap her at one point, because he's got her like all tied up, because they do other weird kinky sex stuff too. Where you're like, whoa.
Because they're trying to make something comparable to the trains.
Yes. I mean, get a train set. Get some train
build
noises.
Build it up on the floor and just
put trains on
the
TV. I feel like if I was in a relationship with somebody who had this, we could figure it out, you know? I could dress up as a train. She could dress up as a tunnel.
Put a train on my dick.
Yeah. Train dick. Hashtag train dick. Hashtag Beyonce.
Here comes the choo-choo.
So final thoughts on any of these?
Support your indie film. Go watch these things, man.
Yeah. I think all of these were really good.
Yeah, absolutely.
I enjoyed all of them.
Just the taking the time out of your day to go do it. Yeah, I know. I know the feeling, but guess what? You should.
Yeah, you freaking guys and girls, you jerks. I don't know. Anywho, hope you guys like this. We're going to have links to all of these in the description. I don't think people can watch Trained though,
no.
Right? That's the only thing. So we were given a passcode to that. So
it's a buck on Amazon. Go buy it.
Oh, okay. So it is on Amazon to get.
Yes, for a dollar.
Fantastic. But because we're privileged, we got it for free.
Yes.
Gotcha.
Please find us where you're going to find us. Give us a 5-star on Apple Podcasts. Oh, my
what?
God. The news. The news. iTunes is going away. So rate us on Apple Podcasts, guys. We're on Twitter at Indie Film Pod. We're on Instagram at Indie Film Review Pod. We have an email, theindiefilmreview@gmail.com.
That we swear we check every single day.
And wait. As always, Dan, you have the final word.
Oh, you're just gonna do it? Dan's upset because we went way over.
I'm just trying to get it going.
I know.
Final word is siderodromophilia.
So
yay!
Nice.
You said the secret word.
Nice.